Speak your mind. It's Generation Rap. Hot 103 Jams.
Good morning, Kansas City. It is your boy, the Fresh Prince Noah Thomas, coming to you out of that class of 2024. Today's show is all about historically black colleges and universities. We will be talking to Miss Andrea Manlove and Miss Erica Collins, who both graduated from University of Arkansas Pine Bluff. Miss Cindy Hunley from Clark Atlanta University, Miss Chelsea Carter from Langston University, and Miss Kenji Walker from Alabama A&M University. And our own Kalon Hooks, who is at University at Arkansas Pine Bluff. So let's kick it back to your host, Tiara and Deja. Woo!
What is poppin', Kansas City? This is Deja McKenzie on the mic.
And what is good, Kansas City? It's your girl, Tiara, aka TT, on the mic.
And this show is all about the HBCU. So, Tiara, I got a question.
Yes, ma'am.
So when you hear HBCU, like, what is, like, the first thought that comes into your mind?
I think about, like, black excellence, you know, like, it's a lot of history when it comes to HBCUs, and HBCUs is just lit, period. Like,
yeah, same for me. And basically, when it comes to HBCUs, I think about unity, black girl magic, black boy joy, basically same thing, black excellence, because everybody knows HBCUs are amazing, especially when it comes to the band. Right. But first, I want to know who else is in the building.
What's up, Kansas City? It's your boy, Jaden Hassam, a.k.a. C. Breezy, repping the best class of 2024. What is good, Kansas City? It's your boy, the Fresh Prince Noah Thomas, coming to you out of that class of 2024.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. It's the big homie Tyree, repping the class of 2019.
And everyone, it's me, Jasmine, repping the class of 2019.
What's up, Kansas City? It's your boy, Terrion, repping class of 2024.
Okay, and it's your girl, Tierra, a.k.a. TT, repping the best class of 2019 from Center High School.
And what is poppin', Kansas City? This is the Nubian Queen on the mic, Miss Deja McKenzie, repping Ray Peck, and I am repping the best class of 2019, and I got you with your announcements. So right now, it is that time again for Cotillion 2019. This youth development and scholarship program is co-sponsored by the Kansas City, Missouri Alumni Chapter of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority and the D Foundation, and is now accepting applications for high school students, seniors from all across the KC area. If you got any questions about how the program works, plan to attend the informational meeting tomorrow, September 16th, from 3 to 5 p.m. at the Delta Athenaeum, located at 900 East Linwood in Kansas City, Missouri, and also visit dkcmo.org/cotillion for the application and more details about the program. And applications are due on September 30th. And right now, we're about to kick it with our conversation about the HBCU. So basically, if you guys do not know, HBCUs basically stand for Historically Black Colleges and University. And for the fun fact, there are 101 HBCUs all around the states. So I just want to know, what is basically the history of HBCUs? Or how did it basically get started?
All right, so after the Civil War, African-American education blossomed. Black ministers and white philanthropists established schools all across the South to educate free slaves. These schools, more than 100 of which are still open today, became known as Historically Black Colleges and Universities, or HBCUs. Historically Black Colleges and Universities are institutions of higher education in the United States that were established before the Civil Rights Act of 1964 with the intention of primarily serving the African American community. This figure is down from the 121 institutions that existed during the 1930s. The first and the eldest HBCU, China University of Pennsylvania, was founded in 1837. Philanthropist Richard Humphreys donated money to create this institution specifically for black students because he witnessed the struggles and challenges they were facing. Today, HBCUs are funded by the government, and it has been announced that Historically Black Colleges and Universities will receive a 14% increase in federal funding in the U.S. Senate's omnibus bill, following strong advocacy by U.S. Senators Kamala Harris and Doug Jones. The increase will mean an additional $5 million in 2018 over 2017. In addition to the increased funding for HBCUs, historically black graduate institutions will receive a 14% funding increase from $63.3 million to $72.3 million. Predominantly black institutions will receive a boost from $9.9 million to $11.4 million.
All right, thank you so much. And also real quick, actually, me and Tierra gotta give some shout outs to some of our GRP alumni who are attending or have attended HBCUs. So right now, for me, I gotta give a shout out to my boy Kalon Hooks. He is attending University at Arkansas at Pine Bluff. And he is repping that class of 2022. Class of 2022, excuse me, and he is also there on a full ride scholarship. And also we got Tatiana Nowali. She is attending Fisk University on the full ride scholarship and repping that class of 2022. And next, we have the phenomenal Ryan Gray, who is attending North Carolina A&T University, and she is repping that class of 2022. Woo! And also, we have the amazing Grace, and she is attending Spelman for that class of 2022. Woo! And also, I do have my cousin Kayla Henderson. She is attending Alabama A&M University, and she's repping that class of 2020. Woo! And also, we got Maya Edwards. She is attending Howard University for that class of 2020. And also, for a fun fact, she is also attending Howard University with actor and comedian Nick Cannon. And also, her and Nick Cannon do have a class together. So that is really amazing for Maya to have that amazing experience. And then also, we have Team Eminem, who was Marcus and Maisha. Marcus graduated from Lacey University, and Maisha graduated from Howard University. And also, last but not least, we do have Erica Wentz to Howard University. Woo! So the next fun facts, we do have enrollment, which is basically what I'm going to be talking about. So basically, the schools that basically have the highest enrollments are North Carolina A&T University, State University. And North Carolina A&T is located in Greensboro, North Carolina, and their student population is 11,877 students. And then next we have Texas Southern University, which is located in Houston, Texas, and they have 10,237 students attending. And then next we have Florida A&M University, which is known as FAMU, and it is located in Tallahassee, Florida, for the population of 9,913 students. And then next we have Howard University, which is located in Washington, D.C., and they have currently 9,392 students. And then last but not least, we do have Prairie View A&M University, which is located in Prairie View, Texas, for the population of 9,219 students. So that is incredibly amazing that the HBCUs have a lot of students that are attending and definitely keeping that Black excellence going. But now I just want to know about the diversity of HBCUs.
All right, everyone. So we all know that HBCUs stand for Historically Black Colleges and Universities, but that may not always be what it looks like right now. For instance, a lot of new colleges are looking or tending to slide more towards the white majority or other people of color majorities. And I'm freezing. And, like, that includes Bluefield State College and West Virginia State University, whose student bodies had a large white majority since the mid-1960s. So this is happening because a lot of colleges are starting to accept more African Americans, because back then, we all know how much the discrimination there was and how hard it was for African Americans to get into colleges. A lot of people, that also counts that white people are starting to get into these colleges, and there's a bit of a controversy about that. On one hand, people see this as a nice way to open up new doors and new minds to these HBCUs, but on the other hand of that, people believe that we need to keep the inclusiveness and Black excellence running within these colleges.
Woo! I was really curious about how former slaves paid for college, and what I found was the government had an organization called the Freedmen's Bureau. It helped get former slaves used to freedom, and Freedmen's Bureau went to the HBC colleges, and they also worked. Okay. Oh, this is Tyree, by the way.
Jaden.
Hello, everybody. My name is Jaden Hassan. One of the famous graduates of Morehouse College was Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Second, Morehouse opened in 1867 to train former slaves. Number three, as you may know, Morehouse College was a college for Black males.
All right. And then we got Noah with the famous celebrities.
So we had Lance Gross, Martin Luther King Jr., Oprah Winfrey, Andrew Gillum, Terrence J, and Erica Badu.
All right, all right, all right. And then now we are about to call, or basically we're about to talk to our G-Rap alumni, Kalon Hooks, who is attending University of Arkansas at Pine Bluff, repping that class of 2022. K-Boogie, you're on the phone with Generation Rap.
Good morning, y'all. How y'all doing, G-Rap?
We good. How are you, Boogie?
I'm doing good, you know what I'm saying, on the phone with y'all from Pine Bluff, Arkansas.
That's what's up. All right, so basically, Kalon, we just want to know, what are you majoring at UAPB?
But right now, I'm currently majoring in mass communications, so that's basically what all you guys are doing right now.
All right. So basically, I just want to know, why did you want to choose UAPB for your school?
I mean, really, at the time, it was about money, but then it always was also about what I love. Like band, like music, that's my life, and that's why I got my scholarship in, so that's what made me decide I wanted to go to UAPB.
Okay, this is here, and I wanted to know that, I know you've been at UAPB for 2 months. Like, what is your thoughts on it? Have you liked it so far?
Oh, yeah, I liked it so far. I mean, only thing about it was just adjusting from being away from my family and taking care of myself and living on my own. But other than that, everything has been great. The people has been great. It's been like a family. It's everything I imagine out of a black college.
This is Dejan McKenzie, and you mentioned about being away from home. So was it hard at first trying to adjust a new lifestyle in Arkansas instead of being home in Kansas City?
Oh, definitely, because, like, you don't get to see your mama and your daddy and your sister this morning, every morning. Hey, mom and dad, I know y'all listening. But y'all don't get to see them every morning. Y'all don't get to – it's a lot of things that you don't get to do without your family no more. But over time, it teaches you how to be responsible as an adult.
Okay, this is here, and I also know that you're on a band. How you like that?
The band right now, that's my life. Although it takes up all my time, it's still something that I love, you know. It's like getting up at 4:30 in the morning. You at first you hate it, but then again, you begin to love it with a passion. It becomes like it's that second energy. Like, I don't even know how to explain it. It's just life, man.
All right, and this is Dejan McKenzie. So you mentioned about being in love with bands. So was there like anything else you basically love about UAPB?
Just the way that they treat us, like, everybody, it's just like a family there. Whoever you walk past, you just say hi. Oh, what's up, brother? What's up, family? How you doing, big brother? And it's something that you would like to experience every day. Like, it's not nobody's a stranger. Everybody, you know each other.
Okay.
And also, K-Boogie, so since you are attending UAP, what are you looking forward to this year?
This year, I mean, I'm already into my goals, which is pretty much band and academics. So, like, with band, me pretty much just going out and experiencing what I had to experience in person. So, the next year is coming around. I know what to expect. Like, we already have some Battle of the Bands. We've been getting down. We up with Queen Naja from our arrangement of medicine that we played. She said she's going to come to school, but academically as well. I just expect myself to get all A's and then just to build myself personally and mentally and socially as well.
Yes, yes, Kalon. Yes, that is what's up. And can we all get a round of applause for Kalon Hooks?
Woo!
All right, Kalon, thank you so much for calling in and talking to us about your experience at UAPB.
Yo.
All right, and right now we are about to go to break, but when we come back, we're going to have HBCU alumni talk about their experience at HBCUs and why they are still relevant. So right now you are listening to the hottest and the livest teen talk show on the planet, Generation Rap, only on Hot 103.
Jams!
Never miss a minute.
Back to the hottest teen talk show on the planet.
Generation Rap.
Hot 103 Jams.
We'll be right back.
What's poppin', Kansas City? It's your boy, Terrion. In our first segment, we talked a little about the history of HBCUs, and we also talked to G-Rep alumni, Kalon Hooks, who's a freshman at UAPB. For our next segment, we'll be talking about HBCU alumni and their experiences on campus. Now back to your host, Deja and Tierra.
What is poppin', Kansas City? This is Deja McKenzie on the mic.
And this is your girl, Tierra, on the mic.
And this show, if you guys are just now tuning in, is all about HBCUs. And the band music that was playing in the first segment was Howard University. And now you were hearing the band from UAPB and one of our very own alumni, Kalon Hooks, who is also a part of that band. So right now in the building, we do have Miss Erica Collins, who graduated from University of Arkansas at Pine Bluff for that class of 2014. We do have Andrea Manlove, who is also a graduate from University of Arkansas at Pine Bluff for that class of 2011. We do have Miss Sydney Hunley, who is a Clark Atlanta University graduate for that class of 2017. We also do have Miss Chelsea Carter from Lancaster University for that class of 2018. And last but not least, we do have Miss Kenji Walker, who attended Alabama A&M University for that class of 2018. So how are you females doing today? That's good. So my first question is starting with Miss Erica. So why basically did you want to choose an HBCU?
I chose an HBCU because I wanted something different. I went to Hickman Mills High School, graduated in 2010, and I really wanted to be a part of something great and something amazing.
This is Andrea Manlove, and the reason why I chose an HBCU is partly because our ancestors paved the way for us, and why not utilize the institutions that they worked so hard to put in place for us to get a quality education? And plus, I got a band scholarship, and so it just made sense. Get out of KC, experience something completely different.
Miss Chelsea?
So I chose my HBCU for starters for the scholarships, not gonna lie. It was basically because they gave me a lot of money and I was like, I'm gonna follow the money. But I think a better question would be like, what made me stay? And I stayed at my HBCU because I like the culture. I like being around people that look like me, that behave like me, that like the same things that I like. So that was really one of the strongest things that I think HBCUs have to offer versus a PWI.
Miss Kenji?
I chose Alabama A&M University for the same reasons as these ladies that spoke before me. I received a band scholarship, and so my story is kind of interesting. I just got on the Greyhound and went down and auditioned for my, didn't audition, but I spoke with the band director, and based off of like my character and my poise, he, you know, awarded me that scholarship, took me in under his wing, and you know, I was just like, wow, like, you know, they're so personable, and it's just interesting to know that at an HBCU, your teachers care for you, they care about you, they knew my story as a first generation college student, so they're like, wow, you know, we got you. And so just that family atmosphere, that culture that was at my HBCU, that's one thing that I loved about it.
Miss Sydney?
Yes, this is Sydney from Clark Atlanta University. I chose Clark Atlanta basically for the motto, find a way or make one. That really resonated with me. So I wanted to be around that black excellence. I wanted to go to a university where I could embrace my ethnicity and also get a quality education.
All right, this is Deja McKenzie. And Kenji also mentioned the culture of the HBCU. So basically, I want to know, starting with Ms. Erica, what was the culture like at an HBCU college?
I would say the culture was very fascinating. It was amazing to see young black African Americans just like you being able to sustain a conversation about societal issues, about civil issues, race issues, things that are going on today, being able to come back to your community and inspire younger generations to be able to follow in your footsteps. So I would say that was the culture at my HBCU.
Andrea?
Yes, I also attended the University of Arkansas at Pine Bluff also. And I'd say the culture is very inviting. It's very warm. It feels like a family, honestly. Mm-hmm. And so people just welcome you with open arms. They kind of show you the ropes. You know, first time going, being away from home, honestly, for me was scary. Mm-hmm. But I also love the fact that I was no longer in the minority. Like, and that was so beautiful just to see African Americans excelling and just wanting more out of life and actually pursuing that and having people to kind of mentor and coach them along the way. So I never ever felt lonely. I was only when I left to go to UAPB, I didn't know anybody down there. So it was just me and my college roommate. We graduated high school together and we went down there. And so that was kind of a scary situation going down. But once I got down there, like I said, it literally felt like family. So you had people to kind of show you the ropes and what to do and how to do it.
So this is Chelsea speaking. For me, the culture at a HBCU is the fish fry Fridays, the watermelon in the calf, you know, just those things that they know that we enjoy doing because we're such like a family oriented community. We like to be around each other. We like to make each other laugh. And on top of that, you have those teachers who aren't just in it to get paid. They really want to see us succeed as a race, as a people. They don't want to, you know, give us a hard time. They know we have it hard enough in life. And so they're really just there to motivate us and to push us forward. And I think that was really important for the HBCU community.
Kenji?
Yeah, just to go along with that, I would say the classroom sizes, you know, I was never in a class full of 250 people, but when I did my tour, nothing's wrong with Mizzou or anything, but when I went to those schools, my senior year of high school, they would always say, oh yeah, you know, your first year you'd be in a class of 300 people. I'm like, what? I don't want that. I want something that, you know, where my teacher's going to know my name, where she's going to remember me, and we're going to actually have a real relationship. And so that was the culture for me at Alabama A&M University.
Miss Sydney?
Yeah, I agree with that. I went to Clark Atlanta University. The culture was of the Atlanta University Center. It's comprised of Morehouse, Spelman, and Clark Atlanta. It felt like home, and we all were just a part of Black excellence. So.
All right, Miss Kimchi, you mentioned earlier that you're the first in your family to go to a college. So why did you decide to choose an HBCU as your first choice?
So, first of all, I knew I was going to HBCU. I graduated from AC College Preparatory Academy, which is now Southeast High School. I just wanted to be around people that looked like me. I was in band. We did the American Royal Parades and the St. Patrick's Day Parades, and I knew that I needed a band scholarship. I wanted to be in a band that played relevant music that I listened to. And so, of course, that's an HBCU. And so that's pretty much why, you know, I chose an HBCU over a PWI.
This is Tierra, and I just wanted to know if you guys can tell us your major that you studied in college, starting with Miss Erica.
Yes, my major was political science.
Andrea?
My major was nursing.
Chelsea?
My major was business management with a specialization in entrepreneurship.
All right.
This is Kenji, and my major was management.
Sydney?
My major was psychology, concentration in pre-med.
Okay. And this is Deja McKenzie, by the way. And my question to Miss Andrea, so you were mentioning that in your freshman year, when you went to UAPB, it was really hard to like to adjust your life since like you didn't know anyone there. So how did you balance your life out at UAPB?
So one thing, like I said, I went down there on a band scholarship, and one thing that the band in particular does is it connects you with upperclassmen that are from your same area, your same state or city, also as well as people who are in your same major that you're inspiring to be in. And so just having those mentors as far as upperclassmen and kind of having them take ownership of their peers and kind of coach them along the way, you know, they told you what classes to take, what not to take. Definitely not to take 8 a.m. classes so you won't be late. And just things about making sure you exude a professionalism and that you take advantage of opportunities that are out there. And like I said, it was just really a big family. So they supported you in any way. I didn't have a car going down there. So like when you need to make those Walmart runs or anything like that, you had those upperclassmen, you know, didn't have any money. So you kick them a few dollars or not, and they'll take you where you need to go. And so it's really, you know, you had that mentorship available to you.
What's up? It's Tyree. I just want to know, how different is college from high school? Like, you know how everybody say freshmen, it's always childish and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? Is that, do that kind of apply in college? I mean, I know you can't compare kids from adults, but like, it kind of does it kind of apply? You know?
I definitely think so.
I think it pretty much starts over. So your freshman year of high school, I think, is very like comparable to your freshman year of college because you're new to the school, you're learning, you're like trying to get adjusted to a whole new lifestyle. The only difference is like your parents aren't there. And so it's like learning that own accountability, learning how to discipline yourself, learning that you need to go to your classes. So your freshman year is definitely full of mistakes, learning your limits when you're going to parties and who you should be around, the type of crowd that you want to have in your inner circle. All of those things are things you learn your freshman year and then of high school and again your freshman year of college.
All right, so it's Terry. I just had one last question. What is the most misconception of HBCU colleges?
I think that that we party all the time. We don't never go to class. We don't graduate. But as you see, it's a lot of alumni here. So we definitely graduate, and we do party. But we also get in quality education. So.
This is Erica. I would say the biggest misconception to me would be that our degrees are not valuable. Mm-hmm. I have witnessed in the federal government alone so many executives coming from HBCUs, mm-hmm. Seeing engineers, special agents, senior vice presidents of agencies such as the FAA, which stands for the Federal Aviation Administration, just being able to not only see that, but them see you, having them as your mentor to help you. So I would say that that's the biggest misconception to me.
All right, this conversation is really heating up, but right now we do have to go to break. But when we come back, we will continue our conversation with our guests about HBCU. So please do not touch that dial. You are listening to the hottest and the livest teen talk show on the planet, Generation Rap, only on Hot 103.
Jams!
With traffic every 15 minutes, there's no excuse to be late.
/StarRewards.
Back to the hottest teen talk show on the planet. Generation Rap. Hot 103 Jams.
What's up, Kansas City? It's your boy, Jaden Hassam, a.k.a. C-Breezy, repping the best class of 2024. You are listening to the hottest and livest teen talk show on the planet, Hot 103 Jams. In the second segment, we talk to all the guests about their experience with HBCUs. Coming up in the third segment, we are going to continue our conversation with the guests about their experience. I would like to add a fun fact about an HBCU that I would like to attend. Morehouse College was built in 1867 to train former slaves. As you may know, Morehouse is a college for black males. One of the famous graduates of Morehouse College is Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. I would like to become a Morehouse man just like my baseball coach, Chris Evans. Don't forget to add us on Snapchat, Instagram, and Facebook. Now kicking it back to your host, Tierra and Deja. Woo!
Morehouse?
What is poppin', Kansas City? This is Deja McKenzie on the mic.
And this is Tierra. This morning's show is about HBCUs. And if you are just now tuning in, before break, we was talking about the misconceptions about HBCUs. And Miss Andrea, would you like to pick off on that?
Yes. So another misconception about HBCUs is kind of like Erica said, the quality of the education, but also the experience. Because one thing that I noticed about my HBCU experience is that since the class sizes are smaller and, you know, it's more like family oriented, you really get to know your professors. And I feel like they take more interest in you as far as taking interest in your matriculation through the university, and also think of you when opportunities come up. Sometimes, like at PWIs, you can just become another number to them because the class sizes are so large. And that's not speaking for all of them, but honestly, a lot of them. And so, like at UAPB, our class sizes were small. You got to know your peers. You got to know your professors on more of a personal note, and so they may know your home experience and kind of your background and where you come from. And then, like, when opportunities come, since they know you, they can speak to, oh, this would be good for you. You know, here's an internship. We had career services on campus, and it afforded you the opportunity for internships and scholarships. And sometimes if a professor had you in mind, they'll reach out to you, say, hey, this would be good for you. So it's more personable to me.
Mm-hmm. All right, this is Deja McKenzie and Miss Andrea. For the people that don't know, what is a PWI?
A PWI is a predominantly white institution. So.
All right, this is Deja McKenzie, and my question is to Chelsea and Kenji. So what are the misconceptions that you guys hear about HBCU, starting with Chelsea?
I would say one of the misconceptions is that the people that attend HBCUs, that are, like, I believe this is what Sydney was touching on about, we only wanted to party. We're only going to HBCUs to have a good time, to drink and all of that, and that's just simply not the case. We're definitely there for our education, but college should still be fun. So I mean, we can party, we can do all of that and still get our work done. And I also like to add to that that you meet your best friends in college, and mm-hmm. so going to a HBCU I definitely think helps with that, because that's where I personally met my best friend. Shout out to the Purple Heart group, and literally, like, they are my friends. We've been friends since my freshman year of college, and they have my back. Like, I would never have to question if these friends that I made at this HBCU would ever do anything, you know, behind my back or bad to me, because they're true.
So this is Mentor Spencer, and let me just say, I am one of these folks who went to a PWI, so I have a question from the PWI perspective. One thing I remember going to school, and I remember going to the dining hall, eating my food, and I remember that, you know, it tasted a little differently than the food I had back home. I had to bring my own bottle of Lowry seasoning salt second semester. I learned my lesson. I wanted to know, at HBCUs, is the food the same? Do you need to bring your own seasonings from home? Or, like, what's the cafeteria like?
Oh, no.
Oh.
Fried chicken Tuesday.
Ours is fried chicken Wednesday.
Catfish Friday.
Fried fish Friday.
They have barbecues on the campus.
Yes.
Ooh. My school went viral like a week ago, and we had crab legs, shrimp. Like, we really have seafood boils. Like, don't come for us. Like,
making my hot dogs and hamburgers sound real whack right now.
And then one thing Alabama A&M does during midterm week is the chicken and waffles, so that gets us like in a group, and then we have like a little study hall, and then they'll just provide us with chicken and waffles. Everything is really good, well seasoned, just all around fire.
Yeah. Okay, so y'all got us on the food. Now, at the football game, from what I understand, the real show isn't even the football game all the time.
Okay. Halftime is a game of time.
Yes. Okay. Nobody shows up for the actual football team. They come to see the band. Hello. Because if you go to an HBCU before halftime, the stands aren't going to be completely full. But let it get closer to halftime, and it's packed. Mm-hmm. Like, you won't be able to find a good seat. So,
right. So you tailgate during the game. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then you come back and watch the show.
Yes.
The real game.
Yes, the real game.
I have to admit, there's sometimes I'll hop on YouTube, and I'll be looking at different renditions of different songs from the bands at halftime. So particularly a good time, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
All right, this is Deja McKenzie, and my question is to both Miss Erica and Miss Andrea. So since you both did band at UAPB, what was the experience like? So basically, when you did band, how did you prep for games? How did you practice? What was it like?
Well, I'll go first since I went before Erica. So her era was a little different. We actually, I'd say band camp, we were the first ones on campus before school started each fall. And so I was at band camp maybe 3 weeks before school started, and we were starting practice at 4 a.m. And so you have like the leaders and the drum majors coming through the dorms, and they singing like our songs, and they're playing band music at 3:25 in the morning to get you up for band camp. And so, but what it taught is how to be on time, because if you weren't on time, you had to work out and do other things. But also, it just taught you to be responsible. You know, if they're paying you to do something, then you have to go down there and you have to perform to what you committed to. But band was fun. I'd say one of the most memorable things for me was actually being a part of history. I got to march for President Barack Obama in his inauguration.
Okay.
It was freezing, but it was well worth it, and it just shows you how much love the alumni have for you, because we had to raise so much money. We had over 300 band members and had to take 7 buses and drove up to Washington, D.C. So it just makes you appreciate things a lot more.
So. All right, Miss Erica.
Ooh, I would say being able to play black music, yes, first of all. It's so many things. It teaches you pride, dedication, commitment. It really is. It you graduate with so many memories. You're able to be a leader on your campus, not just in band. You're able to join other organizations. It teaches you time management. I don't know how many times I've been yelled at about time management. Time management. It teaches you about time management, because a band student is probably the most hardest working person on the campus, because you have to run from here, there, everywhere, and make sure your classes are done, make sure your coursework is done before football games, after football games.
So this is Tyree, and I would, so how long did y'all practice? And like, when y'all talk when y'all talk about germline, it made me, I mean, what's it called? I mean, band. It made me think about Drumline, you know what I'm saying?
So, when I say they made Drumline look so sweet, like, they had it made. They had it made. And don't get me wrong, like, it kind of gives you a general overview, and I think each band program is going to be completely different.
Yeah.
But like I said, you know, with us, the kind of black and white, everybody was uniform. So, it teaches you how to make sure that you fall in line with what you're supposed to be doing. Everybody wore black and whites, like no logos, no nothing. Right. So you had to make sure you had on the right attire. You could not pledge your freshman year. So I know that was one thing on Drumline that a lot of people were coming in. Oh, I can pledge, you know, Kappa Kappa Psi, which is a band fraternity and stuff. And like, you can't, I think maybe at some institutions you can do that, but not at UAPB. You got to put your education first. And so that's just a bonus. But we practice Monday through Friday. It was typically in my era. Erica's maybe a little bit different. But we practiced at 5:30 and went typically until we got a write. And so that was Monday through Friday, but Friday is the weekend. It's the day before Saturday, which is game day, and you better pack a lunch. You better pack a snack.
Right.
Because you're not leaving until you get it right. And we could be there well until 2 o'clock in the morning. So.
Okay. I would agree. The one thing about HBCU bands is every week you have to change your show. So with our band directors, we have more than one. If by Wednesday or Thursday it didn't look right to them, Friday you will be there all night to get it right.
Yes.
And at any given moment, they can change up the lineup of the show, and you have to go with that. If there's new music that's been added, it's added on Monday or Tuesday. You have to have it down by Wednesday. If not, it's X-nay, and you have to get it right. If you are traveling, even if you are there at band practice until 1 o'clock in the morning, you still have to show up at 6 a.m. to get on the bus. If not, you are getting left. And nobody cares if you got left.
Hey, if I could chime in on that, it was like the Morehouse game, the very first game of the year. Like, Mr. Graham, my band director, he kept us out there to, at Golden Line Stadium to, I kid you not, 1 a.m., just practicing, putting the field show together. It was tough, but hey, it was Aretha Franklin tribute, and it came out good. We was like the second band, HBC band, with the halftime show.
Yep.
This is Noah Thomas. My question is, who has the best band?
UAPB, of course.
I would say Alabama. Yeah.
Clark. She wouldn't say that, but she's outnumbered today.
Yes.
But no, I think, like, growing up, my favorite band, for precision reasons, was Bethune-Cookman. But sound-wise, I will have to give it to Jackson State University.
Ooh, I would disagree. I actually grew up liking Florida A&M University, so I would have to give it to them.
I thought Atlanta A&T had the best band.
Oh,
okay.
We don't know them. That's a make-believe. That is a BET band.
Hi, my name is Jaden. What's something you wish you know about HBCUs before attending? And that's for anybody.
I know.
Miss Sydney?
I don't know. I wish I knew was as lit as it was. I mean, I would have tried to graduate high school earlier, but other than that, I mean, I feel like I came in pretty prepared.
I'd say I wish I would have known about more scholarship and internship opportunities, as well as I didn't know about how to become an in-state student. As far as, you know, coming out of state, you have to pay all these fees and your tuition is higher. So I wish I would have known the roundabout ways to become an in-state student so I could save money, and, you know, use my scholarships and financial aid wiser.
So what's tea? How you do the roundabout?
Oh, just becoming an in-state student. I think every state is different, but I know for Arkansas, you know, you find Arkansas address, you transfer everything to that state or local entity, and you know, it helps if you have family. And I think after 2 years you can become an in-state student. So a lot of students after their first year, once they find that out, they move off campus so they can establish residency within Arkansas, and then that's how after 2 years you can become an in-state student, and so your fees and everything turns to in-state.
Okay, and we have one of the final questions, which is, now you all are all graduates, and this is Miss Erica, one of the mentors. I went to Howard University, a proud graduate. And so what has graduating from an HBCU meant for you in terms of your adult life? Like, how has going to HBCU really impacted you?
This is Chelsea. I will say, like, graduating from, at least I'll speak for Langston University, one of the things I can say is that my school is still very much involved in my life. I still hear from, you know, the counselors and everything, asking if there's anything that they can do. I feel like I still have those connections at the school where I can reach back out if I needed a letter of recommendation for something, or if I needed some life advice or just some work advice. But Langston did a really good job as far as helping us, I guess, get into our careers and things of that sort. So I would definitely say, I can't even express like how important I think HBCUs are and how much I think that it has impacted my life. I don't think that I would be where I am today if I had chosen to go a different route as far as like a school is concerned.
Right.
Noah? Before we wrap up the show, I gotta send a special shout out to my mom, whose birthday is tomorrow. So happy birthday, Ma. Now,
you would. All right. So thank you to Miss Erica, Miss Andrea, Miss Chelsea, Miss Kenji, and Miss Sydney for being today. Can you guys give a round of applause for them? And now we're going to kick it to Jasmine with the wrap up.
All right, everyone. I enjoyed learning about HBCUs, and I hope you did too. It was really fun to talk about the history and the misconceptions and experiences about this. Actually, I also have a quote that's really important about HBCUs and something I think GRAP should know and that everyone should know. It's from James Weldon Johnson from Atlanta University. He said, "You are young, gifted, and black. We must begin to tell our young, there's a world waiting for you. Yours is the quest that's just begun." And you know, I think that's really powerful. The game of the week was played last night at Spring Hill versus Bonner Springs. You can vote now at kprs.com. So thank you guests for talking with us. Thank you listeners for tuning in. And I'm going to kick it back to our hosts, Tiara and Deja.
Woo! Oh yeah, and one more thing. And actually, thank you to Kalan Hooks for calling in today and talking to us about his experience. And definitely please note that the views and opinions expressed on Generation Rap are not necessarily those of the Carter Broadcast Group. So please,
don't get it twisted.
You have been listening to the hottest and the livest teen talk show on the planet, Generation Rap, only on Hot 103.
Jams!
KPRS Kansas City HD1. We keep it poppin'. Hot 103.